This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, just as our town has grown and evolved, so have our trails, from 25 miles of single track in 1990 to about 400 miles today. Over those decades, the traffic and uses have exploded and changed, and necessitating now directional trails, off-leash areas, and winter grooming. Not everyone is a Nordic skier, a mountain biker, or a trail runner, but rather opt for maybe the slower pace and hoped for serenity of hiking. Dr. Beverly Hurwitz has compiled the best of our area's hiking trails in her new book, Park City Hiking Guide. She joins us in the studio along with her publisher from Surrogate Press, Katie Mullally. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
So, Beverly, this is the second book that you have published. You've been very prolific in the last year. The first one was The Walker's Guide to Park City, and that came out about a year ago. So talk about the two books, the differences between the two books.
I actually started with the idea of one book, but there's so much here that it really would have been too big a fat a book. So after mapping out all these routes, I divided it into those that don't require a lot of athleticism and those that require maybe some athleticism or a lot of athleticism. I have encountered quite a few visitors here who say things like, I'm not an athlete. What am I supposed to do in Park City?
And the altitude, I would think.
Actually, in the hiking book, there's a whole chapter devoted to altitude, both for visitors and residents. It's a very exciting field in medicine, very understudied. We're just learning about it. But we may be a guinea pig population for the altitude that we live in here. So the Walker's book is 30 walks that take you through neighborhoods and community parks and some of our very easy flat kinds of trails to give people a little sense of the difference in trail walking versus paved surfaces. And then the hiking book is about 45 routes that really take you into the mountains. But there's still routes in there that are for people who don't have a great deal of stamina or who are adjusting for altitude. So there's routes in there for all levels of athleticism.
It's kind of interesting, your cover photos on each of the books. I'm assuming the Walker's Guide to Park City, this is a photo on the cover of McLeod Creek.
You're correct.
So obviously very, I love that trail. It's flat, it's easy. You see people walking, running, biking, all kinds of things, nice and wide. And then the cover photo on the Park City Hiking Guide is this rocky, burly-looking trail with, maybe Jupiter Peak in the background. Definitely a different flavor. And, you bring up such a good point about, people who come here who aren't the, extreme enduro world-class athletes. And it seems like you've really found a niche market.
Actually, the last book written about where to walk here, Park City Trails, was published in 1984. It's been out of print for years. I got here in 1990 and got a copy, and even in the 90s, not one of those trails was still identifiable because the landmarks had changed so dramatically. So that's going to be the biggest challenge of keeping up with the changes and the growth of our incredible trail system.
And I know we're talking about the hiking aspect, which is going into the mountains on more of the rugged terrain, but I'm really intrigued by last year's book, The Walker's Guide, because of the neighborhood aspect. And I'm thinking about when I go places that I'm not familiar with, one of the things that's the most fun is to walk around neighborhoods. And I don't know what it is about that, but, recently I've been visiting my children. One lives in Minneapolis. One was living in Chicago, in these just amazing neighborhoods. And the things you see, the way that the tree canopies with the old growth trees and the architecture that you experience, and even the layout of the streets and that whole sense of place, you really get a sense of place walking through neighborhoods. And thinking about Park City, what better content could there possibly be than our neighborhoods to walk through?
We have some very sumptuous neighborhoods, Aspen Springs is a beautiful walk. The walk around Solimere into Hidden Oaks, that's just stunning, especially in the spring and the fall when it's still muddy on the trails and we're basically unable to get into the mountains. Those neighborhood hikes are very, very nice, and they can give you quite a bit of exercise depending on which neighborhood you pick.
And then do you sort of segue those visitors who come and say, geez, it's wonderful to have this guide around certain neighborhoods, but now I'd like to do something a little more mountainous or, you know, down the rail trail and then maybe up onto Lost Prospector or something like that? Is there sort of a segue path for them to move from flat neighborhood and paved to rocky trail?
There are. There's a little bit of Round Valley, the La-Di-Da trail, to, again, whet appetites for hiking without putting people in a situation where they're going to get feeling like they're out over their heads. And there's some vigorous road hikes, like walking up Bear Hollow Road and coming down through Olympic Park. And the one route that's repeated in both books is PC Hill. Mm-hmm. And I had put it in the walking book because I thought it was the best of the easy, hard hikes that I could include. But then I couldn't do a hiking book of Park City without including it also. So it's the only one that's repeated is PC Hill. But yeah, the walking book will take you through the neighborhoods and the parks, particularly Willow Creek Park has some real great options for walkers.
Right. On the new book, The Park City Hiking Guide, how much do you steer hikers away from certain trails that you know have a lot of downhill mountain biking, that sort of thing? Do you do that? Do you steer them away? Or
I really chose the hiking routes to try and not have too much conflict with cyclists. There's a lot of information about interfacing with cyclists and mm-hmm. trail etiquette and what's the polite thing to do and the safe thing to do. I also designate when it's a hiking trail only, and I've tried to keep the hikers away from the cyclist trails. And some of the intersections, I put extra cautions in. There may be downhill cyclists, and I've also tried to clue walkers in. I see this occasionally, that you get a group of cyclists, and the straggler is the one who's terrified and out of control. And you do not want to step back on the trail till you've accounted for stragglers. And so there's a lot of ways that we can improve sharing the trails. But my hope in writing this book was to disperse the hikers, because visitors come here and they all know about Mid-Mountain.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that trail is so overused. And when you talk to locals, they all know about a few favorite trails, but they don't know about the other options. And so my hope was not to crowd the trails, but to disperse the hikers, and also to, I would hope, people who invest in the book will have a greater sense of their responsibility in trail preservation. So I'm hoping not to crowd the trails, but to disperse hikers and make them more appreciative of the system and their goals and responsibilities.
Yeah. I see an evolution ahead of us as our trails become more popular and crowded, that you will we'll see a lot more directional trails for mountain bikers, which alleviates some of the issues with hikers, and then hiking-only trails. And so this sort of segues into Katie Mullally, who's sitting here at the ready. And I would imagine as a publisher, Katie, as Beverly updates the books, is that part of why you used a local publisher? Because it just makes it easier to make a quick update? I don't know how it goes in the world of book publishing, how easy it is.
Well, thanks to the technology of print on demand, what happens is you update the files, you load it up either to CreateSpace, which is through Amazon, or to Ingram, which is the company that bookstores and retailers will order through. And as soon as you upload that new file, the book is updated within 24 hours. So that's one of the beauties of this. Instead of having to print thousands of books, and then as the trails continually change, you're stuck with the old routes. Now, we see a new change, a bypass, go in, update the files, and resubmit them. And so as soon as those are approved, those new trails are ready to go. So that was one of the nicest things about doing a print on demand, is that ease and flexibility.
Beverly, do you see a need? I'm speaking more in terms of supply and demand. You know, we have a supply of a lot of trails, but they're all mixed use, or many of them are mixed use, and we do have these conflicts with users, and we are trying to address those. And as Lynn says, there's a new age upon us with directional trails and designated use trails. What's your sense of the need for designated use trails? I mean, do we have the capacity for a parallel system that would be hiking only?
That's a great question. And when the Park City Mountain tried to separate snowboarders and skiers some years back, it wasn't very successful because it was separating families for all practical purposes. I think there are some trails that I definitely want to keep walkers away from because they attract a very aggressive cyclist element. But other than those downhills that the crazy people like to speed on, I don't really see a lot of need. I'd say 99% of the time when I interface with cyclists on the trail, it's a great experience.
Yeah.
So I see the safety element as needing to make some adjustments on some terrain, but I really wouldn't be in favor of dividing up too many trails into cyclists only and hikers only. And I've been on these 70-some trails here multiple times, and I've never had a problem. Mm. I was once hiking with somebody who made a problem because they were, I'm a pedestrian, a cyclist has to stop for me, and that is the way the rules are supposed to work.
Right.
And I don't hike with that person anymore. Because most people appreciate that the trails are to be shared.
And what's your approach to that trail etiquette? Because there is there's a kind of the legal part, or how we've defined trail etiquette, which is equestrians at the top and then pedestrians and then cyclists. And, you know, whether or not the cyclist is going to understand that or acknowledge it or practice that is always questionable. And I encounter hikers who step out of the trail, and sometimes if we're sort of slowing down at the same time, I'll tell them, you have the right of way. And some will say, well, that's great, and, you know, thank you very much. And some will say, you know what, it's just easier for me to step out of the trail for you, regardless of direction and
absolutely.
All that. So what's your approach?
I think the polite thing to do is for the pedestrian to step to the side and let the cyclist pass, especially if they're sweating uphill. I think if there is a problem, it's cyclists not giving a loud enough, early enough warning when they're coming from behind to the walker, especially if the walker's talking or distracted in some other way. So I think cyclists need to understand they need to give better warnings, and there'll be less conflicts and less chance of a collision. But I also think that walkers should try to accommodate cyclists. It's just the polite thing to do, even though walkers technically have the right of way. I step off the trail.
Yeah.
I'm a cyclist too, so mm-hmm. I see it from both sides.
Yeah.
I think we need happier bells on our bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a variety of different bells, and I have to say my favorite is like the childhood bell, the big round one with the thumb lever that goes ching, bring, bring, because you can make that do all sorts of really happy sounds. Some of those other bells, you'd go dwing, and it's kind of aggressive and hostile.
I think the important thing, though, is to do it far enough behind so you're not scaring the hikers if you're a cyclist. You know, Beverly, you're bringing up a really interesting point, and it's curious because also Charlie Sturgis from the Mountain Trails Foundation says sort of the same thing that you do, is, you know, that concept of let's not divide the trail uses, because at the end of the day, we all just need to harmoniously get along and give, you know, cut other people a break and realize that we're all out here trying to enjoy these trails, and it's just a matter of general, you know, humanity and courtesy to say, let me see how I can help us all pass each other on the trails in the kindest way, which it's really a good lesson for all of us. It seems so simple.
Yeah, I did devote a couple paragraphs to this whole issue because it's very important. I think one of the biggest, as a cyclist, one of the biggest problems I have is the hiker who stops on a intersection to answer the phone or whatever and is just unaware that they're at an intersection. And yeah, those to me are the dangerous situations when I come around a curve and there's somebody there with his back to me on the phone. He doesn't hear me. I have to get off to you know, make sure he's safe. So right, there's a lot of ways that we can be more respectful of each other and enjoy sharing these trails.
Well, as a celebrated local author, here with your publisher, I like the author that travels with their publisher. we have an event coming up. It's a week from Saturday at Dolly's Bookstore. Tell us about it.
We're going to have a book signing, so persons who would like to have me autograph their book, I will be there, happy to do so. Both books are available at Dolly's, and they're also available at a variety of other merchants throughout Park City. And a question I'm going to come back to before, it was just happenstance that I got connected to Katie Mullally to publish my book. It was such a good experience compared to a previous experience with the Walker's Guide. So this made it all local and all wonderful.
Yeah. Katie, any final words?
The signing is from...
Yeah, got me. I think it's 2 to 4. No, I need to double check that. Didn't
we'll
bring
let
that.
You know so you can post it to all your fans. We don't know. It's Saturday afternoon around 3 o'clock on the 23rd.
Yeah.
Also, for those of listeners and people interested in the book, one of the best things about the book, besides the trail descriptions, is the extensive information on hiking, whether it's elevation, altitude, food, clothing, shoes, wildlife encounters, because a lot of people that come up to this town that want to have something else to do may not understand some of the nuances of interacting with the moose, or mm-hmm. more specifically, don't, what shoes you need to bring. And so it's a wealth of information that Beverly has compiled from her years of not only being a hiker, but a physician and, you know, taking care of people. And so it's...
And being charged by moose.
And being charged by moose. And so I really recommend it. Even if you know the trails, again, there's a lot of information that you might not have known about from before.
Right.
You know, I was up on Mid Mountain yesterday, mountain biking, and it struck me while I was up there that I was riding through true forest. I mean, there are stands of aspens that are huge and some old growth. And I know everything was cut down 100 years ago, so it can only be 100 years old, basically, the oldest tree up there. But, you know, it's true forest up there, the creatures that are living there, and just the sense of peace and quiet. We saw maybe two other people on the entire ride because it was a weekday and it was before 5 o'clock. And, Beverly, what's your take on, because you do both, you bike and you hike, and what is the experience that you're trying to offer to people with the hiking guide in the mountains?
Not getting lost would be the number one. And our trail system is so complex that I think many people go up to try to find a route and get hopelessly lost wandering in circles.
So if they're not lost, they can actually enjoy what's on offer.
So number one is you either need a guide or a guidebook to find your way, or you need a lot of time to trial and error, as I did over 20 years. But for visitors, certainly, they can get off trail very, very easily. You know, just a new food supply this spring and the deer will make another trail, and it's not going to be on any map. And so I'm really hoping to make hiking easier and safer for people who want to partake in this and experience this phenomenal environment, and also help them to realize they're trespassing in the neighborhoods of moose and deer and elk and coyotes and mountain lions, and they need to know what to do under those circumstances, or fires or fire ants or electrical storms. Hiking isn't without risk, even though it may be much safer than mountain biking and skiing.
So. Dr. Beverly Hurwitz, the Park City Hiking Guide. You can join her at Dolly's Bookstore on June 23rd around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll try to post that on our our link to this interview on kpcw.org and look up The Mountain Life. You can find all of our interviews there. Beverly and Katie Mullally, publisher, Surrogate Press, thank you so much for coming in today, and congratulations on a couple of great books.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to promote recreational walking.